Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God was being merciful unto them. That was the nature of God. People begin to start misusing His mercy. They lost their perspective on what right and wrong was. They no longer knew right from wrong because it was all relative to, well, other people are doing it and it's okay. So eventually, in order to preserve the human race until the seed could come, Jesus, who would redeem us from our sins, God had to limit sin. So how did He do it? Real simple. You go over there and pick up sticks on the Sabbath day and I'll kill you. Do this and you're dead. Do this and I'll smite you with leprosy. Boom. Boy, God began to start blasting people and the wrath of God was poured out. And people, the sad thing is, people from our perspective, looking back, think this is the way that God always was. No, there was 2,000 years that God was merciful. Merciful, and He loved people and used people. Abraham's the only person in the Old Testament called the friend of God, and Abraham was a jerk in a lot of ways. He was wrong. Abraham did some severely wrong things, and yet he believed God, and God counted faith unto him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. God was dealing with people in mercy. He was gracious. That's the real nature of God. God is a good God. He could have told Adam and Eve how rotten they were. But you know what? All they knew was that they were naked. That was the most minor of all of their transgressions. God could have said, you know, if He would have just taken, let's just take the people on the front row right here. And if He had gone down and says, let me show you the damage that you've done to this woman's life. The hurt, the pain, the death, the suffering, the heartache, the heartbreak. And if He had just gone through, not even show all of the wars, not even show all of the rapists and the murderers and other things. Just show the things that have happened to people here on the front row. You know what? Adam and Eve couldn't have lived. How would they have ever lived with themselves? Look what we've started. Look what we brought into the human race. The Lord could have told them how rotten and how bad they were, but He didn't want them to know that. He was still walking and talking and fellowshipping with them, even after He kicked them out of the garden, because He didn't kick them out of rejection. He just didn't want them to live forever in that fallen state, so He separated them from this tree of life. But when He had to do something to restrain sin, so He started bringing judgment on, and the fear of God caused people to quit living in as much sin. It restrained the amount of sin. It was an effective tool. Like, for instance, in the New Testament, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. You know, God destroyed the whole earth except for 8 people in the days of Noah because sin had gotten so bad. And He says, when He comes again, it's going to be approaching back to the same evil and the same condition it was in the days of Noah. Something happened in the days of Noah that put a huge restraint upon sin. And you know what it was? Noah happened 1,656 years after the fall of Adam, and it was only about, I forget the exact timing, but just a few hundred years later when the law came. And the law is the thing that put the fear in people and restrained them. It's very similar to a parent who wants to discipline your children. You know what? You don't like hitting your children. You shouldn't. It's child abuse if you like hitting them. But what you do, you've got to train your children that things are wrong. And if you wait until they're 20 years old so you can sit down and reason with them and explain everything and stuff like that, they're going to be a total mess. If you wait until they're 2, that's why you have the terrible 2s, is because you haven't already trained them. You've let them become spoiled. And so you know what you got to do? You got to restrain a child. But how do you teach a little child that doesn't yet even talk or all of these things? How do you teach a child right from wrong? They don't understand God and the devil and good and evil and things like this. But you know what they can understand? You go over there and do that again, I'm going to spank you. And they may not even know that there is a God or devil, heaven or hell. They may not understand demons. They don't know any of this, but they know that if they go take that toy from their sister again, that they're going to get a spanking. And so when the thought comes, they'll say, no. And you can teach them to resist evil, to resist wrong out of nothing but fear. And that's what child training is all about. You can't wait until your children are old enough to explain to them. Now, if you go over there and do this, you are yielding to the devil. The devil is the one who is selfish. God is a giver. The devil is a taker. So every time you just think about yourself, you're being selfish, and so you're giving place to the devil. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you know what? If you do this, you'll never have friends. He's going to steal your friends from you. If you get a job, you'll never be able to keep your job because you are selfish and you aren't thinking about giving. If you get married, your marriage is going to fall apart. Try and tell that to a one-year-old kid. They can't understand stuff like this. But you know what a one-year-old can understand? You do that again and I'll spank you. And they'll say, no, I'm not going to do it again. And they'll resist it. Well, in a sense, that's what the law was. Before people got born again, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man or mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Before people got born again, they couldn't understand spiritual things. So how do you reach carnal people that don't have any spiritual perception? Do this and I'll smite you dead. I'll call fire down from heaven and kill 102 men. That was never God's nature. Just the same as it's not automatically the nature of a parent to hit your kids. You don't want to do that. But you've got to teach them consequences. And the scripture says the rod and reproof gives wisdom. If you spare the rod, you hate your child. Today, people are saying, oh, I love my child too much. No, you hate them. You aren't teaching them right from wrong. You need to give them consequences. And giving them a little swat on the bottom is far superior to letting Satan destroy them. And that's what's happening if you don't correct your children. And so God... Amen. And so God began to start punishing sin, not because he hated us, not because he wasn't a gracious God and willing to operate in mercy, but for a period of time we were so dull, sin was perverting the entire human race, God had to put a restraint upon it. And when he started punishing sin, fear came, and that's what the law did. But the law was only temporary. This is what Galatians chapter 3, the law was until the seed could come. The law was not intended to be for the New Testament Christian. We aren't supposed to be living under the law. It was a temporary period of time. There's been approximately 6,000 years since the fall of Adam and Eve that men have lived. And the first 2,000 years, God dealt with people in mercy. And then there was 2,000 years of the law, and since the time of Christ, the body of Christ was never intended to be under the law. They weren't supposed to relate to God and be fearful that God's going to judge them and punish them. You can find examples of harsh treatment by God in the Bible, but they're all Old Testament examples, and you can't show me a one of them where it changed a person and made them better. It was punishment. It was a curse. Miriam was a great leader of the people in Israel. After she spoke against Moses and she got leprosy, the next time she's mentioned, Miriam died and the people lamented. Her leadership was over. It didn't make her better. It wasn't given to be a blessing the way that the church has said. It was a judgment. It was a punishment. And our judgment and punishment has been placed on Jesus. And praise God, God's not going to strike you with leprosy because he struck Jesus with leprosy. He won't ever do that to you. You can find examples of God smiting people. You can find David when he sinned that God killed the child that was born because great damage has been done. And I've got to show people that this is unacceptable, even among the king. And God struck a little baby dead. But that was under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, God would never do that. He's placed your punishment upon Jesus. You are out from under the law. You are not under that law anymore. And man, there are hundreds, thousands of scriptures that talk about that the law was a yoke, that the law was a burden which our parents couldn't bear. Why should you try and bear it? Get out from under the law. The law works death. The law is a ministry of condemnation. If you're condemned today, you've got an Old Testament law mentality. You haven't understood the new covenant. If you feel unworthy today, you have related to God under the Old Testament law, which Christians are not supposed to do. Our legalistic mixing of the Old Testament law and the New Testament grace has really confused a lot of people and made people think that God's going to judge me and hit me the way He did people in the Old Testament. Man, that really wasn't the true nature of God. That's the reason He restrained Himself for 2,000 years before He gave it. It was only temporary. Galatians says, until Jesus should come, we are now redeemed from the law. God does not want you to live that way. It should not be affecting you. You should not be relating to these people. We sing songs today. Like, for instance, from Psalms chapter 51, there's a song that says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And we sing that song. That is as wrong as it could possibly be. That was David saying those things after his sin with Bathsheba. But we've got the promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet we pray, oh God, don't leave me. We pray and say, oh God, come and meet with us today. When He says, I'm always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. It was appropriate for David to say, don't leave me, because he didn't have a promise. He didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He didn't have a promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We've got better promises. And for us to pray and say, oh God, don't leave me. Oh God, don't take away your anointing from me. Oh God, don't judge me. It's a slap in the face of Jesus. It's an insult to what Jesus came to do.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-158 titled Split Personality when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, it's your giving that has enabled us to reach 2.2 billion people on this earth. But there are more that we can reach. There's so much more that we can do. We want multiple broadcasts. We want to be able to just saturate the airwaves so that people can't avoid this truth. And it just takes a lot of money. We are about halfway there to our goal of just making this, putting it in the face of people so that they have to confront these truths. I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That's how God supplies our needs, is through our partners. And if you would call, we would love to share with you and have you become a monthly partner with us.